Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Dalet. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel on days. We're about to start the Yud Ches Davar, the 18 things that they voted on, the gzeros that they made in that aliyah that we spoke about in our Mishnah in the attic of Hanani ben Chizkiah ben Garon, when people went to visit him and they counted up the different Talmidim and they found that there were more Talmidei Beis Shammai than there were Talmidei Beis Hillel. So they immediately voted, and they voted in 18 shitas of Beis Shammai. So Shmona Asur Davar Gazru, there were 18 things, 18 gzeros that they made. Most of them relate to Tumah and Tahara. So the Gemara is going to go through several Tumah and Tahara related issues. So for a little bit of background on Tumah and Tahara. Generally speaking, the halacha is that whenever Tumah is transmitted from one item to the next, it always goes down one level. A Rishon makes a Sheni, a Sheni makes a Shlishi. Generally speaking, a person can only become Tameh from an Av HaTumah. A person can only become at most a Rishon. He cannot become Tameh from a Rishon because the person does not become a Sheni. Midor Raisa, again, there's Midor Raisa. Food can become a Sheni. Kalim also, like a person, can only become Tameh from Nav HaTumah, but food can become a Sheni, and when it comes to Truma, food can even become a Shlishi, meaning if the food is Truma, so the Truma would be possible if it were a Shlishi, whereas regular food, Chulin food, is not possible when it's a Shlishi. Kodesh food, Hekdesh food, is possible even when it is a Revi'i. So that's an additional level of Chumrah that we add in for Kodesh. So now with that very basic background. So let's see. Shmona Asur Davar Gazru. My Ninu Shmona Asur Davar. What are these 18 things that we refer to? So the Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Zavin. Elu Posnes Truma. The following things will pasul Truma, meaning in order to pasul Truma, you need to be a Sheni, because Truma becomes pasul even if it becomes a Shlishi. Everything goes down one level. So essentially, we're saying the following things are at least a Sheni, and they are Ha'ochel ochel rishon. If a person eats a rishon l'tumah, now that is clearly midrabanan. All these things are drabanan, right? That has to be midrabanan because normally a person does not become tameh from a rishon. So why should a person who eats a rishon become a sheni to pasul truma? Where if that person then goes and touches truma, he's going to pasul truma. That's clearly a din drabanan. If you look at Rashi, min a rishon ein ochel metameh adam ochel chutz min nevelos of tahar. There's only one type of food that could be metameh a person through eating it, and that is nevela sof tahar. If a person eats a nevela of a kosher bird, so then he's going to become tame. It's metame bebeis ablia. Aval nevelas behema lo. Even if you were to eat a nevela of another behema, he would not become tame. Kedam maseches nida mishen lo tamel vachilasa yatzu sheish lo tama kodem sheochlena. Meaning the only time something is going to be metame the person through eating is a nevela sof tahar, which isn't tame before he ate it, but a nevela, a regular nevela of a behema is tame before he eats it also, and therefore does not have the ability to be metame and bebeis ablia. So not only does no food ever metame a person other than nevelos of tahar, nothing that's a rishon is ever metame a person. So certainly food that's a rishon for two reasons is not going to be metame a person midaraisa. The Gemara in today's daf is going to explain why there were gozer on each of these things, what exactly we were worried about, that we had to make gezeros in each of these things. The shear of the tumah that's gonna passel of the food that the person has to eat to passel him to make him someone who can passel truma is a chatzi pras. Chatzi pras is two kibetzim. We assume a full pras is four kibetzim, so the shear is a chatzi pras. Rashi goes on to say, Mishuna tuma zumi tuma daraisa tisagila betvila l'truma d'lobaya harav shemesh. That normally the type of tuma that we're gozer on over here is a different kind of tuma than the tuma daraisa in its severity also. Tuma daraisa, you go to the mikveh, it's still not enough. You're still not allowed to eat truma until you wait for harav shemesh, until the day is over also. With these types of tumas, you just go to the mikveh and you're fine. So it's a little bit of a lesser severity that we attach to the tumah. If you look at Tosos, Ochel Rishon Veochel Sheni, eats. Why do we have to say if a person eats? Well, let's see. Va'ochel ochel sheni is the second thing on the list, and someone who eats a sheni l'tuma. So why do we have to mention that if a person eats? Once we say a person who eats a sheni l'tuma can passel truma, so shouldn't it be obvious that if a person eats a rishon l'tuma he can passel truma? Shouldn't it be obvious that that's included in the gezera? Rishon l'tuma is much more tame. Tosfos points out, itnan ochel rishon l'chud lo avi adin mine ochel sheni. Certainly, if it only would have told me that a guy who eats a rishon l'tuma passels truma, I never would have known that a guy who eats a sheni l'tuma would passel truma. V'itan ochel sheni have mina docha rishon nami tumi metame. And if it only would have told me that a person who eats a sheni l'tuma can passel truma, I would have thought yes. And someone who eats a rishon l'tuma is even worse. Not only can he passel truma, he can make truma tame enough to make other things tame. Maybe he could make the truma a sheni instead of making the truma a shlishi. So that's why it has to tell me, no, the gezeira on both eating a rishon and eating a sheni was the same. That a person who eats a rishon or a person who eats a sheni, doesn't make a difference which one he ate, he can only pasul truma, which means he can make truma a shlishi midrabanan. Vashosam mashkin tamein. Also on the list, someone who drinks tame liquids. Person drinks tame food, tame drinks. So essentially we're saying it's not only about food. It's not only about ochel rishon, ochel sheni. You drink tame liquids, also you're going to have the ability to ruin truma. Tosav here also shows the mashkin tamein lo shayich bu rishon v'sheni. He says, why don't we talk about mashkin rishon, mashkin sheni? By ochel we said ochel rishon, ochel sheni. Why by mashkin do we just put in one category? You drink mashkin tamein. So it's not shayich to talk about rishon and sheni. Dili olam mashkin tchila havu, because mashkin is always a rishon. Because that's a gzera. That's a gzera midrabanan, that all tamei liquids are considered a rishon. Avagav da'akati lo nigzer k'mo shafarish b'sam luchmi kol makom hayu b'daitam ligzer miyad. Fractosos, no, that gzera wasn't made yet when they were making these gzeros. The gzera that all mashkin are rishon. So how does that help to say that all mashkin are rishon midrabanan? That dindrabanan wasn't made yet. He said, yeah, but they were planning on making that dindrabanan. That was already in the planning stages when they were making this gzera, so that's why they just referred to it as mashkin. What's the additional chiddush? Why do you have to tell me mashkin once you already told me ochlin? That if you eat food that's tame, you're going to be able to pass on truma. What's the chiddush by mashkin? The reason I need both mashkin and ochlin is because the Gemara is going to say in today's daf that mashkin is not as shchiach, and therefore if you would have just told me ochlin, I would say yeah, they made a gezeira that someone who eats tamei food can passel truma, but not someone who drinks tamei drinks, because it's not shchiach. And we know a milsa de lo shchicha lo gazu be rabbanan, that which is not common, but rabbanan are generally do not make gezerusan. And why didn't it just tell me mashkin, and then I would have known ochlin? No, I wouldn't have known ochlin, because I would have thought mashkin is more chamer. After all, every mashkin that's tamei is given the status of a rishon l'tuma. So I would have thought that this chumra of consuming tamei items is only by mashkin, not by ochlin. That's why it has to tell me both. Weiter in the list. V'haba rosho v'rubo b'mayim shu'uvim. If a person has the majority of his body come into drawn water, a person takes a bath in mayim shu'uvim. So that's also going to be considered tamei midrabanan. Fractosos, wait a second. Anyway, it should be obvious that it's tamei, because in Tomer typically shu tevul yom. He's a tevul yom anyhow. So meaning if he went to the mikveh and then he goes roshu v'rubo b'mayim shu'uvin, so he's a tevul yom anyhow, because he just went to the mikveh and he's not yet completely tar. So he says yeshlom d'nafkamina dafilu harav shimsha poslat shiachsav yitvol. Now if after going to the mikveh he takes a bath and then the day ends, he's got to go to the mikveh again. Midar raisa, he's no longer a tevul yom. And not only that, not only a tamei person who went to the mikveh and then took a bath, even a completely tar person that took a shower in shlosh lugin mayim shuvin. Now this is different. This is not habaro shuvarubo. Someone takes a bath. This is a shower poured on his body, three lug of mayim shuvin. even if he had no previous tumah. So they made a, so Tosa says, well, wait a second, why by the tahar where we only gozer on the shower, and by a tameh person we gozer on the bath? He says, "V'tomer ma'ishna the betorah lo gozer ki'im benafal v'lo gozer nami bebia kamo betvul yom." By the tvul yom, we said only if he takes a bath he's going to be tameh. Why by the tahar person if he takes a bath. Why by the tahar person do we say only if he showers, but not if he takes a bath? V'nir l'ri the betorah lo ratzul ligzor yoser. By a Torah person, we wanted to make the gzera a little bit less. We wanted to tone it down just a bit. So the way we tone down the gzera is by saying that it's only going to be if you take a shower. And that was the most common case that we're trying to be gozer for. We're going to see soon that the reason they made this gzera is because people would bathe after going to the mikveh. The mikveh was often disgusting and unclean. People would bathe afterwards and they got the mistaken impression that it wasn't the mikveh that it was mitire them, it was the bath that was mitire them. But what would they bathe? They would shower. They wouldn't really bathe. So we're focusing the primary gzeira on a shower. Vaiter v'hasefer, a sefer, we are also our gozer, has the kind of tuma that could be mitame truma, that can ruin truma. V'hayadat, meaning any sefer Tanakh is included in sefer. Rashi writes all kisvei kodesh of Tanakh pasul truma when you touch them. This is obviously a very unusual thing, that here you have a sefer that's completely tahar. There's nothing wrong with the sefer, and yet there goes there that someone who touches it is going to have that negiya with the sefer is going to make your hands tamei, and it's mitamei siyadayim, and it's gonna be mitamei truma. So that's a very, very big chiddush. But either way, it relates, Rashi says, not just to Sefer Torah, all of Tanakh, all Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. That's why if a person has their own Megillah, so the halacha is a person supposed to be notal yadayim before you touch the Megillah. You're not supposed to touch the Megillah straight without a netilas yadayim. Okay, v'hayadayim, and yadayim, they were also goes, stam yadayim. If you don't know what the status of your hands is, where the dindarabanan is, that you assume that they are tamei. Tvulyom, and the Tvulyom also was included. Rashi points out, obviously, the Kaman Parach Tvulyom Midaraisa, that we're going to have to ask, wait a second, Tvulyom can ruin Truma on a Daraisa level. That's not a Dindra Banan, that's not a Gzeira, that a Tvulyom can ruin Truma. So what's it doing on this list? Va'ochlim va'kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. And to round out the list, any food or kelim that became tame from a liquid is also something that can ruin Truma. So now we're going to start to analyze the list. That's the list. So mantana ochel ochel rishon v'ochel ochel sheni mifsal pasli tmuye lo mitmu. Who's the shita that holds that one who eats a rishon food that's either a rishon or a sheni l'tuma can pasul truma by touching it, meaning can make truma a shlishi by touching it, but cannot be metame truma, meaning cannot make truma a sheni by touching it. So that must be in agreement with the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah where there's a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's a more severe tuma that the person has when he eats tame foods. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ha'ochel ochel rishon, if a person eats food that's a Rishon L'tuma, he himself becomes a Rishon. Well, if he himself becomes a Rishon, what's he going to do to Truma? He's not going to make it a Shlishi, he'll make it a Sheni. So he's going to be worse than Pasul Truma, he's going to be Metame Truma. He's going to give Truma the ability to be Metame other things. He makes it a Sheni. Va'ochel ochel Sheni, Sheni, Reb Lazar holds. And you are what you eat. If you eat a Rishon, you're a Rishon. You eat a Sheni, you're a Sheni. Ochel Shlishi, Shlishi. And if you eat a Shlishi L'tuma, then you become a Shlishi. So that is not the way we assumed in the Mishnah that we started today with. Rabbi Shua, Omer, Rabbi Shua disagrees. Rabbi Shua is the one that we seem to be assuming like. That ochel ochel rishon ve'ochel sheni, sheni. If a person eats a rishon l'tuma or a sheni l'tuma, he becomes a sheni l'tuma. Meaning, he can only make truma a shlishi, he can only pasul truma and do nothing worse to truma. But if he eats a shlishi, sheni l'kodesh vein sheni l'truma. If he eats a shlishi, then he's considered to be a sheni l'tuma, but only vis-a-vis his ability to be metame kodesh. He still can't be metame truma. He cannot make truma into a shlishi. V'chulin shnas l'altar is truma. And we're assuming the type of food that we're talking about, how did he eat a shlishi? What did he eat? He ate chulin that was treated with the tara of truma. Meaning the food he ate wasn't really actually a shlishi, because only truma or kodesh Kiddush can become a Shlishi. The 48 was Chulin, but it was Chulin that was treated with the severity of Truma. And that's why it's considered to be tame vis-a-vis Hegdish, because it was only guarded with the Tara, with the guarding of that you would guard Truma with, and Hegdish needs a more careful Shmira than Truma requires. Now we get into why. What motivated the Rabbanan to make all of these gzeros? So when it comes to eating a Rishon, eating a Sheni, why would the Rabbanan go Zertumah on eating these things? So because we were afraid, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be eating Tamei food. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take a swig of a drink of Truma, and it's going to touch the Tamei foods in your mouth, and it's going to passel the drink. So we don't want that to happen. Therefore, they made a gzeira that anytime you eat tamei foods, we don't want you to be mitamei foods, mitamei truma, through the tamei foods that are in your mouth. So in order to avoid you, to prevent you from doing that, we try to prevent you from eating tamei foods in the first place by telling you it's going to make you tamei, or at least to prevent you from being anywhere near truma when you eat tamei foods, because you realize that you're tamei, so you're not going to want to grab the mashkin. I mean, why do they have to make this gezeira? Because normally, halachically speaking, if you eat tamei foods and then you swallow it, and then you take a drink of truma, that's fine on a daraisa level. Once you've swallowed the tamei foods, you're not tamei from eating tamei foods on a daraisa level. So there's nothing wrong with drinking truma. The concern is that you're going to, before you swallow it, you're going to put the truma drink in your mouth, and that's going to be mitamei truma, and it's an issa daraisa to be mitamei truma. So out of a concern that one might do that, we just said, you know what, you're already tamei the second you eat tamei foods, and that way you'll be sure that when you're eating tamei foods, there aren't going to be any Truma drinks anywhere near your table. Why would the Rabban go to Tumah if a person drinks Tamei drinks? Because sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you're going to be drinking Tamei drinks where Midal Raisa has no effect on you whatsoever, and therefore, you're going to take Truma food and put it in your mouth, thinking, I'm not Tamei, I'm allowed to eat this Truma food, but you're not going to realize there's still some of the drink that was Tamei in your mouth. And when the food comes in contact with that drink, the food is going to be mitame that drink. So it says, okay, so it's essentially the same gzeira. Meaning, either way, you're not eating tamei foods and not drinking, eating tamei foods being mitame you, drinking tamei drinks being mitame you, is for the same reason. It's because you're going to be eating something tamei of the other kind, and then we're afraid you're going to put truma in your mouth. So why do we have to make two separate gzeiras? Just say, don't, anytime you consume anything tamei, you become tamei. And it's all the same concern, because you might put something else in your mouth that's truma, and it will be mitame the truma. So Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Mal detema hashkrichi velo shkrichi. I might have thought it's more shkriach that a person will drink once he's eating than it is to eat once he's drinking. I mean, if you're drinking and what goes there, that while there's still liquid in your mouth from your drink, you're going to open your mouth and put food in your mouth. That's much more unusual than a person who has food in their mouth, and to wash it down while it's still in his mouth might take a sip. So I might have thought not to be gozer in the case that's less shchiach, chamash mlan. That's why it's a great chiddush that we're gozer in both cases. On to the next case. Why is it that if a person takes a shower or a bath after going to the mikveh, the rabbanon were gozer that he's tamei? Here's a guy who went to the mikveh, now he's supposed to be on his path to tara, and all of a sudden the rabbanon say, oh, but because he took a clean bath, now he's going to be tamei. It used to be that tevila would happen in these yucky cave waters. They were disgusting, they were dirty, so they would shower after going to the mikveh. So people started to make this keva. They started, what does that mean? They started to make keva. We'll see in a second. Gazra leim tumah. They started to make it a kavua thing. This shower became keva, so they decided, no, this shower is no good. We have to make you tame if you take this shower. So my keva, what does it mean they made it keva? Amar Abayi shayu omrim lo elu mitarin ele elu ve elu mitarin. People were under the impression that it wasn't the mikveh that was mitar them, it was the combination of mikveh followed by bath. that's mitar them. They thought it was only the mikvah plus the shower that was mitar them, and that's incorrect. We don't want people walking around with that idea in their heads. Samle Rava, my nafkamina, hakatavli bahanach. Why not? What harm does it do for people to have that idea in their heads? My nafkamina. Either way, they're going to the mikvah. I mean, as long as they think that it's the combination of both that's mitar them, they're still going to be going to the mikvah. And as long as they go to the mikvah, they're actually going to be tahar. So why do we care? I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just say nafkamina is if a person doesn't have a bath available to them, they're going to end up thinking that they can't be mitar themselves, and that could be a terrible avla. You could have a woman who thinks she has to remain asura labayla because she doesn't have a shower available to her, even though she has a mikvah available to her. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no, what's nafkamina? We misunderstood the case. It's not that people are going to assume that both things are mitar them. Ela marava shayu omrim lo elu mitarin ela elu mitarin. People are going to say that, no, it's not the mikvah that's mitar them at all. It's only the shower that's mitar them. Meaning, logically, looking at it, you're told that after something you do, some type of water experience that you have, you're going to be pure. And you look at two things. You look at this disgusting, dirty water, and you look at a perfectly clean shower. So which one do you think purifies you? It's very illogical for a person to assume that the disgusting, dirty mikvah water purifies them. So people are going to naturally assume that it's the shower that purifies them. And then what are they going to end up doing? They're going to cut out the middle step. They're going to cut out going to the mikvah, and they're just going to go take a shower. And that's obviously a very terrible avla. So that's why many poskim say that a woman, our minhag is women go to go take a shower. They have to do chafifa. The chafifa involves a bath and a shower and everything before they go to the mikvah. But after a woman goes to the mikvah, she should not shower until later. The question is how much later. Some poskim say till the next morning. Others say till after tashmish, meaning until something else happens. Certainly not to go to the mikvah and then shower right away. That's not if she feels dirty or disgusting or something. So poskim say wash parts of her body at a time, but certainly she shouldn't put her entire body in the shower. V'tar shenafla al rosh v'ruba shlosh lugin mayim shuv and mayim goes be rabbanan tuma. Why are the rabbanan goes at tuma on a tahar person who showers? So good, I understand a person who went to the mikvah and is now a tvil yom, that a shower is going to be mitami them because you're going to think that the shower is the mitayer. But what about a completely tahar person? Why would the rabbanan have to be goes at tuma on a completely tahar person who showers? And so Gemara, di loha lo kaimaha. Because if it weren't for us making that gezerah, the first gezerah, would never stand. If we don't make the gezerah in a Torah person, the gezerah that comes after the tefillah, people are going to say, well, what difference does it make if it's after tefillah or not? If the shower is mitami me, it's mitami me. If it's not mitami me, it's not mitami me. So because it's the gezerah wouldn't stand, so they had to make this additional gezerah as a safeguard. So this is not what we call a gezerah l'gezerah. It's not a gezerah l'gezerah in the sense that the original gezerah stood and then we made a second gezerah, lest you come to violate the first gezerah. This is all chada gezerah. The first gezerah will not work, cannot be a gezerah without the second gezerah. That's why it doesn't count as a gezerah l'gezerah. The sefer my time, excuse me, sefer my time gozer be rabbanan tuma. Why would the rabbanan gozer tuma on a sefer? It used to be that they would put truma food, they would store truma food right near a sefer Torah. The Amru, and they would say, why would they do that? Why would you put food? Why would you put a sefer Torah in your food cabinet or food in your Arun Kodesh? What were they doing? They said, Hai Kodesh, Vai Kodesh, that it's appropriate. They belong together. They're both Kodesh, so they belong together in the same place. It's truma food. Given the kachaz, the kasuk de pseida, gazbir rabbanan tuma. But then they realize what happens where you keep food. Mice get to where you keep food. So they realized the mice were eating into the klapim, they were eating into the svarim. So they saw it was very bad for the svarim to do this. So they said, you know what? Sefer Torah is metame. And then you're going to keep your truma as far away from the Sefer Torah as you possibly can, because you don't want your truma to become tame. It's a very interesting expression that they put them together, because hai kodesh vahai kodesh. They're both kodesh. Makes it sound like they're the same level of kedusha, that a Sefer Torah and truma are on similar levels of kedusha. Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Hashas over here, he says, Mashma de Kedushas Truma ki Kedushas Sefer Torah. And he says, maybe there's a source for this. The Mishnah Bikurim, Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis. If you're familiar with the Sram, Rav Yosef Engel, Kol Raz Lo Anisle. He was more than a bucky in Shas and Poskim and Kabbalah and everything. It was. I don't know if there's an expression beyond that, his fingertips. He was dripping. He was dripping with Mar Makomo. So, immediately, what do you mean? It's Mishnah Bikurim, the 13th Perek of Bikurim, says, Lama Amra Bikurim Nifse Kohen Shu Koname and Avadim. How do I know that Bikurim count as a Kohen's personal property that he could use to buy things with? And the Mishnah says, we learn it from Sefer Torah. It's just like a Sefer Torah, that if he could buy things with a Sefer Torah, he could buy things with Bikurim as well. So Rav Engel says, you see that we associate Bikurim with Sefer Torah. Bikurim is the same thing as Truma, so Truma should be like a Sefer Torah as well, same Kedusha. But then he says, nah, that's not really right. Because there's a Tosefta in the 14th Parak of Shabbos, Mechabim Lahatzel Kisvei Kodesh Avalola Truma. You're allowed to put out a fire to save Kisvei Kodesh, but not Truma. So it sounds like we're more makel in what we're going to allow you to do to save Kisvei Kodesh, because it's a greater level of Kedusha than Truma has. So he says you have to say the Haf Dekan Ein Hakavana Kedushasam Shava B'diyuk. There's no way we're saying that Truma and Sefer Kodesh, Kisvei Kodesh, have the same level of Kedusha. Rak to Amri, Dikivin to Sefer Torah Kodesh, Truma Nami Kodesh, Vavol B'Yishe Kedushasam Pchusam B'Sefer Torah, Im Kol Zeh, Yafal Atzniya Kodesh, Eitzel Kodesh. Granted, they're different levels of Kedusha, but they both have Kedusha. So that's why they would put them together. What do I do with Bikurim? He says, that's a Kal V'Chomer. We're saying that if even the Sefer Torah is personal property that you're allowed to buy things with, so even though there are halachos about not selling a Sefer Torah, but it is considered your personal property, so Kal V'Chomer, Bikurim is considered your personal property. Plus, when he made an assumption before that Bikurim has the same din as Truma, it's not necessarily so that Bikurim has the same din as Truma. Pashtus is they're not even close in terms of the level of Kedusha. We have two types of Kedusha that we talk about. There's Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha, and they're on completely different levels. Tashmishe Kedusha, once they can no longer be used, once they lose their ability to be used for their original purpose, you can't just throw it out. It's nignazin. You need to put it in Shemus. Tashmishe mitzvah, the halacha is, lachas ma mitzvason. What do you do with your lulav and esrog if you're not saving your lulav to burn with your chametz? Because for whatever reason, you don't want to leave it around your house that long. So what's the halacha? How do you get rid of tashmishe mitzvah, lachas ma mitzvason? Nizrakin. The halacha is you could throw it out. So we're knowing that we throw it out in a very respectful way. We wrap it up in a separate bag. But do you put it in geniza? You put it in Shemus? Of course not. There's no requirement to put it in Shemus. So what's the defining line between Tashmisha Kedusha and Tashmisha Mitzvah? So Shapter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, and this seems to work in all the sugyas. Tashmisha Kedusha is something that's associated with Ksav Shel Torah. Tefillin, mezuzah, Sefer Torah. It actually has actual ksav of a Sefer Torah. That's Tashmishe Kedusha. Tashmishe Mitzvah, something that has nothing to do with ksav shel Torah. It's just something that's used for a mitzvah. So Truma, yeah, it's a mitzvah of Achilas Truma. Any ksav shel Torah in Truma? Of course not. So Pashtus is they're in different leagues in terms of Kedusha. Very strange. Rav Yosef Engel even thinks to compare the two. But he's just working off of this phrase that the Gemara has, that Hach Kodesh Vahach Kodesh. Okay, Vaitu the Gemara, Vayadayim, and we said Yadayim is also something that goes with Kaman. Mnesha Yadayim Askanios Hain, because Yadayim are Askanios. Yadayim touch all different things and all different parts of the body, so we're afraid that Rai Rashi says, Nogim Bebesaru Bemakum Tinofes, Uganai Lutruma Bekach, that it's not that they're actually going to become Tameh, it's that we're afraid that if you touch Truma with hands that just touched all different parts of your body, it's disgusting to do that to Truma, and it becomes disgusting to eat the Truma. So people are going to stay away from eating that truma if you touch all different parts of your body and then you touch the truma. So we were gozer tuman, you're yadayim. That way you'll have to actually wash your hands before you touch the truma, and then you won't make the truma become disgusting. So that's the reason of yadayim. Tana af yadayim avos machma sefer posts us truma. Not only that, even yadayim that touched a sefer can possible truma. Not only can a sefer itself possible truma, not only can stam yadayim possible truma, but Yadayim that touched the sefer can pasul truma. Shum darbi parnach, tamra parnacham Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'ochei sefer Torah arum, nikbar arum. If a person holds on to a sefer Torah without any beged in between his hand and the sefer Torah, he's going to be buried without any beged. He's going to be buried naked. So arum salkadaitach. What you think that we're really going to do that? We're going to hold back tachrichin from such a person because he touched the sefer Torah with his bare hands. The Ritva understands that we're asking. Arum Salkadaitach, what's so bad about that? About being Nikbar Arum? Isn't it better to connect to the ground from where we came. To the contrary, in the real halacha is that a person is not supposed to be buried in an aron. He's supposed to offer tashuv. He goes back directly into the dirt. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury in an aron. We do it here because it's illegal to bury a person outside of an aron. But technically speaking, he's supposed to be as close to the dirt as possible. So what would be so bad? So if he's buried aron, that's how the Ritva understands. But Pashas, as we're saying, come on, we're going to withhold tachrichim from the guy just because he held on to a sefer with his bare hands. Elam Rabizera Aron below mitzvos. No, it means he's going to be buried naked from mitzvos. It's an expression, not that he's literally not going to have tachrichim. He's not going to have mitzvos below mitzvos. Really, touching a sefer Torah with your bare hands robs you of all the mitzvos you've done in your life, all the mitzvos of Maisim Tovim. Now, Eleema Arum below Osa mitzvah. No, it means Arum without that mitzvah. Meaning, says Tosos, Im Okso Lilmud bo Eno Schar Shal Osa Limud. If the reason you were holding the Sefer Torah was to learn from the Sefer Torah, you won't get Schar for that learning that you did. It's almost like a mitzvah Baba Vera, that you did learning through the touching of the Torah, you're not going to get Schar for that learning. Or Tosos says, if you, let's say, held on to the Sefer Torah more commonly because you were doing Galila, and the thing fell a little bit, so you picked it up with your bare hand, so you don't get schar for that galila. Normally the golo of the Sefer Torah has a very big schar, so we say you don't get schar for that galila. That's how Tosa says. So hey Gozer Beresha, which gezera did they make first? Which gezera about hands did they make first? We said stam yadayim are tame, and we said yadayim that touch a sefer are tame. So which one came first? Ilema if you want to say the Stam Yadayim came later, right, after the Gzer about the Sefer, given the Hachazu Bereisha Sulamali. So once they made the Gzerah of once they made the Gezerah of Stam Yadayim, what do you need another Gezerah about Yadayim that touched anything? No, it must be that first they made a more pointed Gezerah about Yadayim that have touched a Sefer, and then they made an additional Gezerah about Yadayim, about Stam Yadayim. That's how you have to say that the Stam Yadayim Gezerah must have come after the other Gezeros about Yadayim that have touched particular things. The Tvul Yom, then we mentioned the Tvul Yom on the list of things that they were gozer. So says Gemara, Tvul Yom Daraisahu. What do you mean? Tvul Yom is Daraisa. Why is that on the list of Gzeros? Tichsivu Ba Shemesh V'Taher. Pasuk says that after you go to the mikvah, you need to wait till Uva Shemesh, till the sun sets before you become Tahar. So Sami Mikan Tvul Yom. You're right, we have no idea why Tvul Yom made it onto that list. Tvul Yom you have to remove from the list. It is clearly not a Gzera. By the way, on the previous discussion about which Gzera they made first, Tosus just says, what do you mean, L'may Naf Kamina? Why would they need to make an additional Gzera for touching a Sefer if they already made a Gzera there in Stam Yadayim? Maybe it's for the following case. Nafkamina is if you touch the Sefer right after Netilas Yadayim. That you did in Netilas Yadayim, so Stam Yadayim you have nothing to worry about, but now you touch the Sefer. So now are your hands tame. So why don't we say that's the nafkamina? So he says, they're not going to make a gzeira, dafka, for a case where you just washed your hands and then that second you touch the Sefer Torah. That's a milsa lo shchicha. So because that's a milsa lo shchicha, they didn't bother making it. They wouldn't have made a special gzeira just for that. That's why you have to say the gzeiras were in the reverse order. So he said, food that had become tame from liquids is also part of the gzeira. So b'mashkin demashkin. What kind of liquid made this food tamei? If it was mashkin that was a rishon natuma, so mashkin that's a rishon natuma that touches food is mitame the food daraisa, makes the food a sheni mi daraisa. Remember we said kalim and people can't become tamei on a daraisa level from a rishon, but food can become tamei on a daraisa level from a rishon. Must be that we're talking about liquid that became tamei from touching yadayim. And we made a gzera that such mashkin is going to be tamei, lest you confuse it with mashkin that come from touching a sheretz. So, and any time liquid becomes tamei, liquid always becomes a rishon. So even though your hands are only a sheni, when they touch a mashkin, that liquid becomes a rishon. Very unique. It goes backwards. It goes up the list. Normally, when you're metame things, it becomes lesser tuma. But over here, we're saying it's going to be metame on a greater level. So why is that? That we're so machmir about mashkin. So Rashi deals with that issue. V'had gazer b'kol tumas mashkin mios tchila v'lo gazer nami ba'ochlin gzerim shemochla ba'machnas sheretz haynu taima da achmir rabban b'mashkin mishum da alulun l'kabel tumas she'enun tzrichen tikun hechsher la'vim lidei tuma avalochen tzrichen tikun nesinas mayim l'achshirun l'kabel tuma. The reason we're so much more machmir by mashkin is because liquids don't require any preparatory process before they become tamei. Food needs to become hukshah the kabel tuma before it can become tamei. So we have less reason to be machmir, because in less situations, food will actually become tamei in less situations than drinks will. Because drinks, they just contact tuma and they're tamei. They touch something tamei and they're tamei. Food, it's not so simple. They first have to become hukshah the kabel tuma. We just discussed something from Hakshirin a couple of days ago. Maybe we'll do a shir one of these Tuesdays about hukshah the kabel tuma. Very fascinating topic. Va'kelim shenitah, more fascinating than it sounds. Kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. If kelim become tamei from touching liquids, kelim ditmu b'mashkin b'mai. What kind of kelim are we talking about? What kind of liquids touch these kelim that made them tamei, that now these kelim can passel truma? Ilim b'mashkin d'zav. If we're talking about the bodily fluids of a zav, da'raisa ninu. Well, then those kelim are tamei da'raisa. Those bodily fluids are an avatuma, and kelim can't become tamei from rishon, but they can become tamei from an avatuma. D'chsiv v'chiyuro kazav v'tar. Masha b'yatar t'me. So we must be talking about liquids that became tamei from a sheretz. Ugzeira mishum mashkin dezav, and we make gzeira of for atu mashkin dezav from that it will become tamei, lest you confuse it with mashkin of a zav that are mitamei the kelim. So says Gemara, wait a second. What these Yudches Davar were gzeros that were made in the attic by the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel. And amongst the Yudches Davar we counted Yadayim. Is that where the gzeros started? Shammai v'Hillel Gazer. No, it wasn't the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel that made this gzera. It was Shammai and Hillel themselves that made this gzera. So Tosfos points out, we don't want to answer that Shammai and Hillel made the gzera of Yadayim that touched a sefer, not Stam Yadayim. Because it just says Gozrual Yadayim, it just says Yadayim Stam, so it's hard to say that there were only Gozer on Yadayim that touched the Sefer. So this is the Kasha. How can you say it was the Talmidei Shamil made this Gezeira? Shamil themselves made this Gezeira. The Tanya, we have a Braisa. Yossi ben Yoazer is straight of Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim. Whenever we say Ish, we assume he was the Sar Hamakom. The Gra says that the word Ish means that he was an important official in that place. He quotes the Shar Mitzvah Balach quote. He was in charge of that city. So these people made a gzeira tuma al eretz ha'amim. They were gozer tuma on eretz ha'amim, on chutz la'aretz. Why are they gozer tuma on chutz la'aretz? Says Rashi, mishum safek kvaro shalahen. D'nachri metame b'mago masa va'oel rabbanon. L'rabi shimon nami damrein metame b'ol metame b'mago masa v'rekev. That we assume there's tuma all over eretz ha'amim. We don't know where there are kvarim. In chutz la'aretz, it was never carefully monitored where there were kvarim, so we're always concerned that you're going to be tamei wherever you go in eretz ha'amim. A non-Jewish dead body is not metame ba'oel. Yeah, but it is metame. First of all, that itself is machlokes tanaim, but also even if it's not metame ba'oel, it is metame b'magel b'masa. So that's why there were gozer tuma all over eretz ha'amim. Says Rav Yosef Engel, what if you find a place in eretz ha'amim that you're able to verify that there was never any body there? There was never any dead body that was ever buried there. And he says this: there is a bedika for such a thing. There is a way to verify this. We're going to have a sugya later on in Lamedal Raman Alf for the Tosfos that tells there is a way to be bodek this. So what if you have such a spot in eretz ha'amim? Do we say that? No, it's gzera on all of eretz ha'amim. It's not a gzera mishum where we look at the reason for the gzera and say, okay, but if we can verify that there's no dead body, it's okay. It's just a gzera on all of eretz ha'amim. Or do we say, no, we look at whether there's a reasonable chance of tuma. So again, Rav Yosef Engel, he has everything at his fingertips. So he quotes a Rash in Maseches Kelim. In the 17th parak of Maseches Kelim, the Mishnah goes through the Sheshis Yimei Bereishis and which days Tamei things were created, which days non-Tamei things were created. And it says on Yom Rishon, Tamei things were created, because if you make a Kli out of the Adama, so it could become Tamei. So the Rash says, nothing to do with Eretz HaAmim. This is not about Eretz HaAmim. What do you mean? If Eretz Ha'amim isn't Tameh in its own right, it's only Tameh because of a dead body, so of course nothing that was created on the first day is Tameh Mishum Eretz Ha'amim. There's no dead bodies. It's not the Tumah of the Eretz itself. Elamai, you have to say, when there goes to this Tumah, it's a Gzeira of the Tumah of the Eretz itself. That's his Raya. Unbelievable Bekias. Val Klei Zechuchas, and they also made a Gzeira on Klei Zechuchas. Shum Ben Shetach Tikin Ksubali, meaning that it could become Tameh. Shum Ben Shetach Tikin Ksubali Isha. Shum Ben Shetach is Mesakein the concept of Ksuba. So Rashi says, no, he wasn't misaking the concept of ksuba. Whether ksuba is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan is actually machlokas tanaim. Shem ben Shetach was misaking that all of a person's nechasim are meshuba to his ksuba. Afilim in glima dal kaspai. Everything is meshuba to his ksuba, because it used to be people would make a separate bank account to pay off their ksuba, and they just wouldn't touch that bank account. And that way, when the husband got angry at his wife, it was very easy for him to divorce her, and then because he never touched that bank account anyway, so it just went to her, and it was very easy for him to divorce her. So he made a din that no, all your nechasim are meshuba to the ksuba. The gozer tuma al klei matchos, and there were gozer tuma on klei matchos. And here's the key line: shamevil gozer tuma al yadayim, and shamevil were gozer tuma on yadayim. So v'chite meshamev v'siato hilo v'siato. Unless you say, no, it was Shammai, it doesn't mean Shammai and Hillel, it means with their Talmidim. V'am Rav Yidom Rishmol, Yirchaz Dover Gazru, B'Yirchaz Nechliku, V'il Hillel V'Shammai, L'Nechlu El B'Gimel Mekamos. You can't say that Shammai and Hillel were also involved in the story in the attic, because there were 18 things that they disagreed about in the attic, and there were only 3 things in all of Shas that Shammai and Hillel themselves actually disagreed about. D'am Rav Huna, B'Gimel Mekamos, Nechliku, V'Sulo, V'Chitei Ma'asu, In Hu Gazru, Litlo, S'asu Talmidai, V'Gazru, Lishrof. Unless you say, no, maybe Shammai and Hillel made a din that it should be a Safek tuma, and the Talmidim came and made a din that it should be Vadei tuma. V'amr Ilfa Yadayim Tchilas Gzeiras on the Sreifa. No, Ilfa taught that the original Gzeira on Yadayim was that it should be burnt, was that it's Vadei tuma. Ella Asi Inhu Gazer V'lo Kiblu Minayu V'asu Talmidayu Gazer V'Kiblu Minayu. No, what happened was Shammai and Hillel made this Gzeira and no one was mekabelit. Then the Talmidim came and they made the Gzeira and everyone was mekabelit. And it's not a Gzeira before people are mekabelit. A Gzeira Shein Rav Tzibur Chol Namodba, that's not mekubel by Rav Tzibur, is not a Gzeira, but that in later generation we proved to be ready for this gezeirah. Okay, a good mechadish.